Jim McGovern, the third branch of government, maybe the first, depending on how you're looking at it, is the Supreme Court of the United States that would not allow President Obama to appoint a ninth justice, breaking all kinds of precedent. And even though he was a great appointment, then people on both sides of the aisle agreed on it. And now we see, as a result of that, that President Obama's immigration executive actions have not been upheld because there wasn't a ninth justice. What can you tell us?
Yeah, well, you know, that's, you know, that's, we have a big problem and we have a crisis within the Supreme Court because you're having these tied decisions, you know, on some very bad cases heard at, on the district level that, you know, are resulting in a lot of harm to a lot of good people. And that's the case with the immigration ruling. It was basically a tied decision, which meant that the lower court view got to prevail. And so now you have all these people in this country who thought they were going to have some temporary peace of mind, you know, have now no peace of mind. And it's a cruel thing to do, number one. You know, and it's even more frustrating that it was a tie vote. And, you know, that's why we need to have a full complement of justices on the Supreme Court. But it was unfortunate. And, you know, and again, I hope that, you know, in the lame duck session, that the Republicans will move Judge Garland forward and we can, you know, we could put this behind us.
Do you think that there's a possibility that they'll do that? I mean, there've been a lot of speculation, you know, this intransigence on the Republican part to allow anything. Mitch McConnell, my only job is to bring Obama down. You know, do you think there's a possibility that this will happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason what I've heard is that you know, this, if Hillary Clinton becomes president, that the Senate will move to approve Judge Garland quickly because they're afraid that she will nominate somebody who's much more progressive and younger, you know that there might be a move to advance him in the lame duck session. But you know, again, you're right. I mean, Mitch McConnell and the Republicans have been incredibly intransigent on everything that the president has wanted, and you know, I mean, I think none of us would be surprised if they did nothing. But we're picking up rumors that if the Democrats win the White House, that they might then move on Garland in the lame duck session.
Let's transfer back to my favorite subject, the presidential election. We now have the possibility of going into a convention in which the Democrats are going to have to figure out how to bring the Sanders supporters along. Now, you've already said in one of our conversations that you thought Elizabeth Warren would be a good VP candidate. But assuming that doesn't happen, you know, two women on the ticket, number one, somebody from Massachusetts right next door to New York and not in a key battleground state. But let's assume that doesn't happen. How do you bring the Sanders people into the fold?
Well, I think some of the Sanders people are already coming into the fold, which I think is a positive sign. And two, Bernie Sanders, I think, is going to be key to this. My expectation would be at the convention, you know, that he'll have a prominent role and hopefully he can appeal to his supporters to, you know, to join with Secretary Clinton in her campaign. And, you know, and hopefully we're going to have a platform at the convention that's going to mean something, that's going to be substantive, that people can look at it and say, look, I want these things to happen and go out there and then work for the Democratic ticket. You know, I remember 8 years ago, there were a lot of Hillary supporters who, you know, said they were never going to support President Obama. But she played a major role in helping to heal any divisions. And as the campaign went on and people saw the differences between Obama and McCain, they realized that, you know, this election matters. And they supported Obama. So I believe that, you know, that we're seeing a lot of the Sanders people already come on board, but, you know, we're still early on in this process, but I'm confident that there's a way to get everybody back together.
I want to ask you something with my political science hat on, Jim McGovern, and that is, I see on your committee assignments that you're on the House Committee on Rules. Nevertheless, you told us earlier in our conversations that Speaker Ryan seems to be the Rules Committee. In other words, he makes up a rule as he goes. How important does he ever listen to what goes on the Rules Committee?
Yeah, well, the problem with the way the Rules Committee is run is it's a 9-4 ratio, Republicans over Democrats. Yeah. And the Rules Committee really is the Speaker's committee in the sense that that's how he runs the House, for the Rules Committee. And so what happens when we meet is that a lot of the rules that we have are waived so that he can do these extraordinary measures of blocking this or blocking that, or, you know, or adding things that are not germane to a particular bill, but nonetheless satisfy some right-wing ideologue, you know, in his party. So, they've made a mockery of the rules. And, and they run this House, in a way where the majority of the majority rules. So it's not just the majority of the House. He won't bring anything to the floor unless the majority of the Republicans all agree that it's the right thing to do. And so as a result, there's very few opportunities for bipartisanship or compromise, you know, or legislation that has an opportunity to become law because of this really kind of strict process that he operates himself under. And I think it has to change. And I think people are getting really frustrated, as evidenced by the sit-in we did on the gun control legislation.
So let me just follow through on this. Will you, if elected into the majority, will your party treat them any better than they're treating you?
I hope so. I really do. I mean, I think that there needs to be more openness in the House. I think there needs to be more kind of compromise and collegiality. We need to get things done. And instead, what we're dealing with are a series of bills that look like they were written in the basement of the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee. I mean, they're all message bills. And it's just a waste of time. I mean, we have this epidemic of gun violence in this country. I mean, we ought to do something about that. You know, the Affordable Care Act hasn't covered everybody who needs to get health insurance. You know, how do we fix that? The cost of a college education is astronomical. And how do we help people be able to get a college education without amassing all of this debt? I mean, these are the kinds of things that you'd like to think we'd be talking about on the House floor. And instead, we're naming post offices, and we're bringing bills to repeal the Affordable Care Act for the 67th time, and you know, we're voting on bills to beat up on poor people. I mean, it's insane, quite frankly, what's going on here. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think people, when they look at Congress, are so frustrated, is because we're not doing much of anything of substance.
Jim McGovern, it is a pleasure, a great pleasure, to have you on the air with us. As you come around to your turn on the congressional corner, I always have great hope when I listen to you. Thank you for being with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you.